And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 16th, 2024. I'm right on that one, good. Sometimes I don't know what day it is at all. Season 18, though, episode 10 for the year here. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome in to the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. I was going to finish that whole intro, and then I thought, you know, slap that and get out of the way while you're thinking about it before you forget. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us. Nobody does. Everyone at ingamechat.net. You can also join us on Twitch, streaming right now. I'm pointing the camera there. Yeah, we're on Twitch right now. Go to twitch.tv on your browser. Type in in-game chat in the search bar there. And you should find us. I think we're all correct now. I know last week we went live saying we're playing Balatro, but we're not. And I want to call that game Balatro. I don't know why. I want to throw the emphasis in a different direction, but all the streamers and everything else I've watched about it, it's called Balatro. But
whatever. I've never called it that.
I know. I started calling it that until I started watching some streams on it, and everybody was calling it Balatro. And I thought, all right.
Yep. Tomato, tomato.
I know. I wanted to put a little elegance, a little flair into it, a little bit of, you know, culture.
Mm-hmm.
Balatro. Like it's some sort of Italian thing. I don't actually know. Is there a definition or is it a made-up word? Do we know?
Let's see. We got the internet right here.
It says video game, jokers. See, it's just going to be a bunch of that. Balatro meaning? Is there a meaning? What do we have? You got something?
What does Balatro mean in Latin?
I see this.
Buffoon, jester, fool.
Joker.
Yeah.
Close Look enough. At that. And how do they have it? Balatro. See, they have Balatro. And everybody else is calling it Balatro, but we call it Balatro. I'm going back to calling it Balatro.
Okay.
Instead of Balatro. Based on this right here.
Yeah. Either way, folks know what you're talking about.
I know.
So
I was playing it before you got here.
Yeah. Same here.
To jump into it again to talk about this card game. Mm-hmm. And folks, I think it's actually on sale on Steam right now because there's the Steam Spring Sale going on. Mm-hmm. Probably down to like $13. It's probably not a big sale. But, you know, I think it's the creator, by the way, did an AMA on Reddit. And he's looking to tweak a few things here and there, some jokers, especially on consoles. Some consoles don't have an update that they really, really need to have.
I think I saw an update, 1.03 version. I downloaded that last night.
Maybe so. They do have that. There was a certain boss blind that decreased the value of your hand played, except it did it permanently.
Oh, okay.
And so he had fixed that on PC very easily, but on console, it has to go through an approval process before it gets sent out to the whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was in the works, and maybe that's what you got was the update on that. There was a couple of different Jokers that when they were triggered, they triggered it permanently, and some do that, but the boss blind should never be a permanent thing.
Yeah.
It should be only for that round.
Just for that one round, yeah.
So, yeah. I was thinking, okay, Bama Brian posts, we have to have a craft channel. We got to make a craft. I don't, Nabokov fan's not in there, but I got to talk to him because we got to get a craft channel in there. Bama Brian just posted a picture, and without even me looking at that, I said, wow, that looks like the Navigator ship from Flight of the Navigator, but it's probably something else. And no, that's exactly what he's using. Graphite powder. Oh, man, you did a great job. Been a long time since I've seen, I think the only name I remember in that film is Sarah Jessica Parker. A way young Sarah Jessica Parker. Disney film, Flight of the Navigator. Watched it when I was really young. A few times. Loved it to death. Watched it when I was older, and I was like, man, that ship's still cool, but this movie's kind of lame.
But is that the one where they took the Tilt-A-Whirl and put a bubble around it? Or is that something else?
Tilt-A-Whirl and put a what around it?
A bubble. Some type of bubble to get let it fly. I'm thinking of another film.
I know what you're talking about.
But that's not Flight of the Navigator.
But that's not Flight of the Navigator. No, no, no. Okay. Flight of the Navigator was this Disney thing, this kid. And I really should go back and watch it. Like, they found a spaceship. And this kid gets into the spaceship. And he just flies around. And then apparently he goes into the future or something. It's, yeah, Howard Hessman was in it.
By the way, I see a list of the patch notes for 1.03.
Good. Hopefully that's in there. He talked about that. He talked about working on a mobile version of the game.
Mm.
We talked about that. How would that work? And it's probably landscape.
I can't see it any other way than landscape.
Yeah.
Because if you try it vertically, you are not going to.
It's just not. It's too much information.
Yeah.
To put on the screen, so you would have to do it. You'd have to do it landscape. Although on. Well, my iPad's in the other room. I was going to say, on an iPad, you might be able to do it either way. I just don't see that happening on a phone, but I don't know. The other reason that I saw the craft channel thing, and this is just, I don't even know if he's in the room, Drunk Degenerates. I don't even know if Josh is in there. And I need to talk to him because I want to play some Baldur's Gate with him. But he did that little, he did that figure that's inside that little bottle thing. And I want to see if he would make me if somebody would make me a Kandor, the bottle city of Kandor from Superman. I would really like that. I'd very much like that. Seeing that little glass case with that thing, I was like, ooh, make Kandor. Anyway, Twitch, you can find us there. There's a broadcast Discord, which we were just talking about. Go to our website if you want to. Pop into our Discord. There's a link there that'll take you right to it. What?
I was looking at the notes for Bellatro, and there was something at the bottom here. It says, while it features playing cards, Bellatro isn't gambling, and a highlight link. This is something some ratings boards are confused with.
Yes, there was. The game got pulled from shops in a couple of different countries. The United States did not get that, but the Nintendo eShop and a couple of other shops, it got pulled in those countries because there was concern about it being gambling with playing cards and stuff, and they had to make it clear that's not the case.
As soon as you see a playing card, gambling. No,
and you're winning money, and you're also winning money.
Chips.
Yeah,
and
well,
chips and money to get
money to buy
like
in
that.
The store, and so it just it was one of those things that they that's great. You found the patch notes for that.
Yeah, play the game. Play the game first before you make a judgment on that, folks. Come on.
Well, I know that, but they're real quick to. You know the government and games.
Yeah.
You know how that works.
Yeah.
Which that old chestnut. We've been down this path before, man.
Plenty of times.
Many times.
They got to learn the hard way.
I know.
And they're still.
Who was that
the
dude? Who was the punching bag? What was that lawyer guy? Jack. Tretton, was that his name?
Thompson? What?
Tretton, I think, worked for Sony. I think Thompson's right. Was it Jack Thompson? God, he would, I mean, a GTA would release, and he's like, lawsuit! GTA 2, lawsuit!
Jack Thompson?
I think that was it. And then there was...
Let's see, as an attorney, Thompson focuses legal efforts against what he perceives as obscenity in modern culture. Video. It's anti-video game. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy.
Yeah, there he is.
And who was the dude that went after Mortal Kombat?
A bunch of people went after Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but there was a dude way up high. Lieberman. Wasn't that his name?
Joe Lieberman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it him that was going? I don't know if he was going after Mortal Kombat or if he was going after GTA or whatever. But
probably video games in general.
I think so, but I think their biggest excuse was like,
what? Senator Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, look at Mortal Kombat, the blood and the guts and the blood and the guts and the beer.
Yeah.
I think that's who it was, but yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't get that anymore much.
Oh, yeah, but that started off of Night Trap.
You're Trap. Exactly right.
Yeah, Night Trap got folks really heated up in Washington.
How many people do you know played Night Trap?
Not many.
I was going to say, unless you did, mm-hmm. I don't know of anybody that did.
I have the game, though. It was offered on PlayStation Plus.
Right.
Yeah, I got the remake, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when this
back
first...
Back when it first came out,
which
though?
Was the Sega CD, right?
Yeah, not many people had it.
Yeah. Night Trap and was it Sewer Rat or something?
Sewer Shark.
Sewer Shark. Mm-hmm. Sewer Rat, one or the other.
You had to hunt Sewer Rats, though.
Sewer Shark
that was based on,
and Night Trap.
Based on how many pounds of vermin you took out to determine whether or not you beat the game or not.
Right. I know... I don't know anybody that had Night Trap. I barely knew anybody that had Sega CD at the time.
Yeah, yeah. That was a problem.
That was a really rare thing, and I knew it was a big deal because, you know, I'd see clips of it on, I say online, I wouldn't. I saw clips in magazines mm-hmm. because at that time there was no online to where you could watch clips from these things. I only saw it on, like, if it was on television when it was talked about or advertised, mm-hmm. or I saw ads in magazine or reviews in magazines. I really never saw it in motion, either of those games or the other games that came with it. I know there was like Aerosmith, you could make your own video or something.
Mm-hmm. Something like that, yeah.
There was a couple of other ones that were trying to use. I mean, there was Sonic on Sega CD.
Yeah, I got Sonic CD, the only thing we talk about with that is the Japanese soundtrack, much better than the U.S. soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's what everyone gets it for. And Eternal Champions, Challenge from the Dark Side.
The other part of it being that you were seeing... Like, you thought graphics had come a long way because it's like, oh, wow, it's playing video of people and things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
It really wasn't that great.
No.
And this was used when I got into PCs more. Then it was used a lot. FMVs, I think, is what FMV, full motion video.
Yeah,
is what it was using in. What was that game?
Phantasmagoria.
Not Phantasmagoria. That's a good one. Seventh Guest had it.
Mm-hmm.
Myst had a little bit of it, but there was another one. It was about a detective, like a neo noir detective, Tex something.
Sounds like some film noir type thing going
on. It was. And the big draw to it was like it had a few people in it that you recognized, and Margot Kidder was one of them.
Uh-huh.
Tex something. Tex Murphy. Thank you, AC Wraith. That's why you're a mod. You think you're going to lose that mod status, but when you keep throwing stuff out like that, you're not. You keep entrenching yourself into that. But you threw out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know it's a whole franchise. But it was Tex Murphy in under the light of a killing moon or something like that.
Under a killing moon.
Under a killing moon. That's what it was. I know. I remember these things. Oh, man.
The third installment. Tex, you just said it was a series, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was okay. It was a whole series.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Soleil Moon Frye.
Oh, she was in that too for that under a killing moon.
Under a killing moon movie was in the works, starring Soleil Moon Frye in a prominent role. Okay.
Oh, a movie was in the works. Oh, okay.
Project was ultimately scrapped.
Yeah. I thought maybe she was in the actual game.
Okay. Yeah.
I never had that game.
Mm-hmm.
I was always interested in it, but I think I was worried that either number one, my parents would not let me play it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, my PC just wouldn't run it.
Yeah.
That was a big, because I was so young at that time, I didn't, you know, I was walking up to dad, can it run this? Can I play this on this machine? Because mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I really did not know. But yeah. Bama Bryan says he had a power glove. I never had a power glove. I didn't have a lot of Nintendo accessories.
Mm-hmm.
I had the gun. as almost everybody did, because I think most of them came with, like, the big pack was Mario Duck Hunt, Light Gun, two controllers, boom, $150. There you go.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of peripherals back in those days.
Might have been
really didn't even need them. Power Glove was cool, I guess, but
I never did the Power Glove. I never did Rob the robot. Mm-hmm. I never did the trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
I never did the Super Scope, but that was Super Nintendo. About the only ones I dipped into was the NES Advantage controller,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really consider a peripheral on that one. It's just it was a controller, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a different type of controller. And back when I was playing my fighting games on Super Nintendo or regular Nintendo, I bought a bunch of those programmable controllers.
Yeah.
Mad Cats or whatever the things were.
Mad Cats, yeah.
Mad Cats had that really neat thumb pad that had no buttons on it.
Yeah, it was just that big motion.
It was just controller, it was just a touch, almost like a touch pad.
It was a touch pad, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it never worked. I went back to the D-pad and the stick.
Yeah.
And then they made that, I forget what probably was on one of those systems where they took that controller scheme and put it on the floor so that you would be the one doing the actual moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how well that thing sold.
Yeah.
But that was another peripheral that it was nice, but you didn't really need it.
No, you didn't. And I'm trying to think of some other peripherals for the
Sega 32X. Remember that big red
for the Nintendo
thing on your face?
No.
Yep. Yeah,
I was not part of the Sega family until way late. I sold my Super Nintendo for a Sega Genesis, and then I sold the Sega Genesis to buy another Super Nintendo.
Because mm-hmm.
I thought Genesis was going to be better for me, and the more I played it, the more I was like, but I want this and this, because Super Nintendo was just chugging stuff out.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't there for Sega, and flip back over to that. And I'm trying to think of other ones. Yeah, the NES Advantage was about the only thing that I picked up for my Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there was anything more, but there wasn't.
Yeah, the only thing I regret not picking up was the fight stick for the Dreamcast.
Mm.
So that thing was pretty well made. Had the
did you start with fighters? Where did you start with fighters with your fighting games?
Arcades.
Yeah, I mean, okay, but
yeah, arcades was really what gave me the bug, so to speak. But playing at home,
what was the one that gave you the bug, or at least do you remember the one? Do you remember what like I'm gonna I you know. I want to come back and play this again and again
Virtual,
and again.
Virtual Fighter 93 on the Sega Saturn. That really got
so me the home it. Console before the arcades.
No, the arcade was when I first got the bug playing.
And what was the game? Do you remember
the original Street Fighter?
Okay,
it was one that did that. And the joy that you got from actually pulling off a special move in that mm-hmm. game, because it was not easy. You had this like pin-sized hole for the joystick, so you had very little room for error. So you had to get that thing perfectly. To get that fireball to come out, or that hurricane kick or dragon punch to come out there, and when it did, you felt like you actually accomplished something.
Right, you actually pulled the thing off. For me, it was Mortal Kombat. Obviously, I've talked about this before, but that was the draw from the gimmick of what Mortal Kombat was, which was mm-hmm. the motion capture of the actors and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it made it look less cartoonish, I suppose, than Street Fighter did. And for whatever reason, so that was the gimmick that drew me in. Like, mm-hmm. hey, it's a fighting game. I'm like, okay, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hey, there's this game that's using these full motion captures. Look at how it looked amazing.
Actual people and actors.
Right, right, right. It made me think like, the arcade for a lot of us who can remember arcades. And I realize I'm on a station and I'm likely talking to a lot of people who are even just listening right now and who will listen later on podcasts who know everything of what I'm about to say. For those who don't, I don't want to give you the spiel of like, ooh, arcades were a place where you went and you played video games. No. Arcades, for me, back in the day, represented top of the line. Like, this is, I got games at home, but I ain't got games that look like this.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll never have games at home that look like this. I'm going to have to go to an arcade to see them. So when Mortal Kombat came out, it was like, that's the only place you can go to see them is find an arcade that has Mortal Kombat so you can look at that. And I would look at it, and I wanted to play it. And so that kind of fueled it. And then I would go wherever there was an arcade at to see if that game was there. And, you know, that's how I learned quarter turn punch, quarter turn kick, whatever it was. to make the special things happen.
Yeah. I still have trouble with that notation, by the way.
What?
When I say quarter circle forward,
yeah, I know.
And folks
yeah.
don't know that. Now it's all keypad now. Now it's like 236 because that's what it looks like on a keypad on a phone. Down is 2, 3 is
on
down
a phone.
Four. Yeah, yeah. Look at your
keyboard. You mean on?
No, look at your keyboard.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So 236 would be quarter circle forward. 214 would be quarter circle. You get it now, right?
I do get it, but yeah. Why in those terms?
That's what the modern fighting game fan does. But I'm still the old guy saying quarter circle forward, and they look at me like, "What quarter circle forward? Oh, fireball motion." You know what that is? You've been playing fighting games for 5 years. You know what a fireball motion is, right?
Who uses what?
Fact sheets, guides, things like that. They use that number notation. Forward instead of forward, they say 6. Because you're facing right.
I get it.
Yeah. But that's the current notation, and I don't use it. But
I always use, you know, front, front, back, back. And front is the way, the direction you're facing.
Yeah.
You don't have to think of like 6, 7, you know, yeah. 6, 6, 7. Yeah. Yeah. What was it be? 6, 6, 4, 4.
Yeah. See, look, they want to make a universal term that was easier for them. Incoming
numbers does not make things easier
to you and me.
I mean,
to you and me, I get that because we're
old.
We up there in age. Yes,
I mean
that's not what we're used to.
I love math. I'm just saying, throwing numbers into a description of something does not make things easier.
Yeah, like I said, to you and me, yeah. But to the younger generation, it's fine to them.
Oh man, let's go to the chat room here. I don't even know. There's people on hold. Let's go to the chat. See, Bye McBrien says the Wing Commander series had some big name celebrities. I caught some video of Wing Commander not too long ago, and it was just a performance of Mark Hamill doing some acting. John Rhys Davies, Tom Wilson, Malcolm McDowell. Yeah, I know Wing Commander was huge.
Yep.
For the video game, and then they went and they made a movie on Wing Commander,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't have any of those people in it.
No, I guess they got professionals. I guess yeah.
Was Freddie Prinze Jr. was the big draw on that first Wing
Freddie
Commander.
Freddie Prinze Jr., Matthew Lillard, Chris Roberts, Saffron Burroughs, David Warner.
Right. It's like they looked at the Wing Commander video game with all those actors and said, well, those people are too old.
Hmm.
We need to young it up for our audience. And anyway, Bama Brian, I always wanted a Thrustmaster stick and throttle setup. That's still not a bad thing to have. When you get a HOTAS there, man, it's still good. Still good. Mm-hmm. Lethal Migraine says, I would bike 14 miles round trip uphill in the snow both ways a couple of times a week as a kid to go to the arcade. Arcades were a blast. They absolutely were. Mm-hmm. They were like walking into the future for me as a kid. Mm-hmm. It was a casino for babies where you didn't get your money back. You only spent it. But you might have gotten some tickets that you could redeem for a lava lamp or a little thing that sat on the end of your pencil,
mm-hmm.
depending on how good you were at skee ball. God, I remember arcades. They were the future for me. And they only kept doing that more and more as games got better and better because it seemed to be, hey, the home entertainment, the home console market is catching up a little bit. We're going to advance the arcades, and so arcade games will get a little bit more advanced, a little bit more advanced. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you hit a gulf or you hit a wall there where it was like the consoles are leaping ahead of us here. Mm-hmm. The home systems are leaping ahead of us. About the only thing we can do here is gimmick games, being light gun games, being redemption games,
prize redemption, light gun,
and pinball, which you could not put into the home. If you can hang on, whoever's on the line, I'm going to check who this is during the break because we're at the bottom of the hour here. Hang on the line. We're going to probably Chris, but even if it's not, just hold on. We're going to get to you. I got music here from a game called Ultros. This is called The Matriarch. Is that from last week or no? I don't think it is. I did these early this week, so I can't remember. Did these on like Tuesday, so I'm not sure. But we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. welcome back in to In-Game Chat. I think we got the wrong music here, because this is Skull and Bones, Thrill of the Hunt. I want to say we did Skull and Bones last week.
I think we did.
I'm almost positive we did, so I am trying to get into the room there remotely and send over all the stuff. I know I did earlier this week. I don't know why it's not here, but I almost... Pretty sure I almost always do, and I feel like I do it multiple times because of this.
Yeah.
This right here. Anyway, welcome back into the show. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Soldier Boy. Hey, man, thanks for waiting.
What's happening? Hot stuff.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry, I mean...
What movie is that from?
Is that...
16 Candles.
Is it 16 Candles? Okay. That's
I'm
right.
Showing my age now. Now I'm gonna be the original OG on your show today. Okay.
Okay, go ahead. I don't know how you could.
I'm showing my age. Well, trust me, 64 years old. I mean, come on. Really. I've seen technology since the UFO down there and landed. Here's what's funny is I remember when 8-tracks first came out, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was a great thing. You know. Wow, 8-9 songs on a piece of tape, man, and it spun around. Woo, man, it went from reel to reel to 8-tracks. I can put it in my car. Thought it was cool in the 70s and everything. And then cassettes came out, and I thought cassettes were cool. But the greatest advance in cassettes, when you could push a button, it would dance all the way to the next song because it had a little space, a little gap between it. You remember those? No, I'm showing my age again.
I was going to say, I don't remember them. I remember being told about them, but I don't remember them.
Memories.
Yeah.
What came out? Oh, CDs came out. Oh, I thought that was a great thing. Only certain artists came out because I didn't know if it was going to make it or not. Kind of like the old VHS beta war they had coming out, you know, and which way it's going to go, even though beta had better quality, better picture and stuff like this. VHS ended up winning the long run, you know, and then went... Okay, so here's what's unique is I've worked in two arcades, the old Aladdin's Castle I worked at two of them, and when I was in the Air Force, part-time. And that's one thing you were saying that I totally agreed with you about the arcade games. That it just seemed that as I stayed there longer and longer, I could see the arcade was going away because of the consoles were coming on board.
Yeah.
And they just could not keep up with it, you know? I mean, they tried their best. They even try to go less childlike and go more adult. I guess kind of like a Dave and Buster's angle, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I would say like that's probably what's left of your arcades, really, or places like Dave and Buster's. Yeah. Even in those, it's the most of it is redemption games.
The same place with final round one. In Atlanta that I go to, it's the same thing, Dave and Buster's, but it's like 80% redemption.
And it's all redemption. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, guess what I bought myself last year as my midlife crisis gift?
Ski ball.
Close. I'll give you another close. Laser disc.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You sure you're not Chris?
Sure.
Yeah, that's Chris's thing, the laser disc, yeah.
I bought a console game, Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair, yeah.
The real deal.
Yep.
Oh, man, when I was younger than your age even. I remember when people used to lean against it, and it would skip across. You would think that it had like a circuit board or something on it, like solid state or something, you know, because that was everything was solid state back then, you know. I went for the tube when I was a little kid, and my dad used to go to get the tubes at the old drugstore, you know, for the TV, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought it was solid state, man, and I thought that was going to be the future, man, was the laser disc. But then I saw the faults in it, man. I mean, you just lean against it. Man, it skipped right over about 5-6 scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up on a website, and I ended up buying one, refurbished and reconditioned and everything. And now, Soldier Boy gets to play it in his man cave, but nobody leaning on it as much as he wants. life is good. It's funny, is you put all those quarters in, I probably could have bought a machine back then. But now I have one. You can buy the things now that you had back then. And it's like great. Dragon Lair's story was so great.
Oh, it was. It was one of those, that and Space Ace, man.
I remember that. Was it Space Ace?
Yeah.
Yeah, Space Ace.
Yep.
Oh, man. And they were both laser games, too, laser disc games, right?
They were by the same company. Don Bluth did them. Yeah. Dragon's Lair, Dragon's Lair 2, Space Ace, and I think Space Ace had a sequel, too.
Space Ace, yeah. I think the collection was Dragon's Lair, Dragon's Lair 2, Time Warp, and then Space Ace was the third one in there.
Right. And as
you
far
know,
as
what's weird about it is, though, you don't get the same feeling when you're playing not the real thing box size, I guess the size, versus it. Somebody told me they were on console games, too.
They are,
But you don't get the same feeling, though. Because you're pushing a button, whereas you had a tap, you know, like the knight that kept taking away your tiles and everything and light changing.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
It just didn't feel the same on a console. I said, you know what? My girlfriend says, well, just go buy one, and you got the money for it. I was like, yeah, you're right.
I think what they was they tried to make the change for, they made an alteration from the original to made it arranged for console. Like they probably changed some things here and there to make it more fitting for the console instead of the arcade.
So I even think there's a documentary on it, but I think
it holds
the record for the game that has appeared on the most systems, I guess, because it's been remade or ported or whatever to so many different systems over the years. Now I could be wrong. That could be Tetris, but I'm not sure. But I thought it was Dragon's Lair had the most.
Do you remember those days when we used to play those games? In particular, I don't know. You were probably really even young, but you had to put quarters on and you had to line up and get yourself in line.
Oh yeah, had to do that back with the Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter days. Yeah, fighting games. You had to put your quarter up there, ready to go whenever they were done. Yep, I got next.
Sometimes a couple of fights broke out too. You know, and they're like, my quarter's up next.
Right. I don't know why they were so. But yeah, there was that. There was that on occasion.
Someone cut the line.
I have other than being a, you know, one of those people.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch the TV series X Files?
I have. Mm-hmm. But if you
did, you ever watch the one where the guy was at the arcade and he was able to control the arcade games?
That one, no, I don't remember.
His mind, and he was. And he'd be able to light you up and turn you into a pretzel and burn you.
Don't remember that one, but I mean.
Yeah, he comes up to the guy and he says, it's my game. He says, no, dude. He says, I'm next. He goes, no, that was my quarter next up there. Whoosh, lit him up.
Yeah, that was 10 seasons of that show, and I don't remember that particular one. But yeah, I don't doubt it at all. So you worked
at. Did you ever watch the one even before X-Files that preceded was before X-Files was a guy that drove around in the Mustang and he was a Kolchak, Night Stalker.
Oh, Kolchak, yeah.
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 Remember his Mustang convertible, man, and he's always going into this. That stuff was the prelude to X-Files, but that
it really was.
That's some classic stuff, man.
It really was. That was I want to say they even referenced it a few times, maybe.
Yeah, they did.
Or paid some homages to it, at least, I think.
Absolutely, they did. I like that one where Kolchak, I just let the computer, it was a killer computer.
I don't remember.
You didn't see that one?
I mean, it's not that I didn't see any of them. It's just that I haven't watched Kolchak in a long time, so I don't remember that. I'm not saying it wasn't there. I just don't remember it myself. So.
But I'm starting to notice a lot of sci-fi stuff. It, in order to be good and memorable, and that's what I think Star Wars is having a major problem right now, and that is having good writers.
Yeah, probably.
Like
I mean,
I think everybody's copying everybody else's storyline.
I don't necessarily know that Lucas is the best writer. George Lucas is the best writer there either. Of course, I don't necessarily know that he wrote all three films, or did he write them and he did, but he didn't direct. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But
I thought he wrote and directed them, first three.
I don't think he did. I don't remember on the writing side of things, but I don't think he directed them all. But I cannot remember, and I think RJ's looking that up right now.
But I tell you one thing: it is Star Wars. Ever since Walt Disney, they destroyed it. Oh God. It's just not the same anymore.
Yeah, the three that they did afterwards. And there's been some better Star Wars done since then, but not in the main canon of those films. Not in the whatever it is. 7, 8, 9 were not that great. But there's been some side projects that they've done that have been actually pretty good.
Such as?
Oh, gosh. man, if you don't dismiss
Boba
it.
Boba Fett, I hope. Boba Fett was disappointing.
Mandalorian's not bad. I like Mandalorian. And the book
The
Book of Boba Fett wasn't too bad, but Star Wars Rebels. I really, really enjoyed. It is all cartoon, but I really, really enjoyed that. And it takes a little bit to get into the mythology, the lore that they go into, but whenever they do, it's really, really good. And then they brought that back for Ahsoka whenever they did the live action for that one. I have not watched Andor yet, but I would like to. And I've heard good things about that as well. So, Rogue One was actually very good as well. I forgot about Rogue One. That's what I was trying to go for. Some of those side stories, like the Han Solo thing, was yeah. But Rogue One, I really liked.
And the storylines, I think, even in sci-fi, I think storylines are just very... What do you think about it? Is there a Dune 2 coming out? Or what's
it's already on, yeah. It's in theaters now.
Have you seen it? What do you think?
I have not seen it.
That's your job to do that, you know, that, and give us the 411 on it.
I have not been to a movie in a theater since John Wick 4, which was last March. I think
was that good?
Oh, God, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, really?
I didn't think
I could get anything after watching last the other ones previous. I didn't think there could be anything more in the story.
Well,
I guess there is.
There is, but now I think now I think they're done. I really think they're done now. But you know, I've been proven wrong plenty of times before when I thought it was over with. So, but we'll have to wait and see on that. They got some side projects on that going on too.
Cool.
Different developments. So.
Okay, well, I appreciate you all taking my call today, and let me bring back my memories now.
Not at all, man. Thanks for calling in.
Old school. Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep, take care now. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I was looking up Lucas. Said he wrote the screenplays for the movies, but it was the novels they were talking about. He didn't have a hand in those.
Well, the novelizations? Yeah, no, I wouldn't think he... No. He never did, but he wrote all three films?
It's the crediting him with the films. What I've looked at.
He probably did, but I know he didn't direct all three.
Okay.
I think he may have done one of those, and then somebody else took over. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Lawrence Kasdan is sticking in my head. Lawrence Kasdan, who I also think directed the first Mortal Kombat film, but I want to say he had a hand in one of the Star Wars, main Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Bama Bryan, who I'm going to take word as gospel here, says he wrote them, but he did not direct them.
Mm.
And I'm almost positive that he is going to know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Lethal Migraine, the John Wick that you're talking about, if you're talking about Ballerina, which is a spinoff John Wick,
yeah,
they may have already filmed that. But
I heard that was having issues or something.
I thought it was as well.
I think issues with fan reception.
I don't know.
Not go well,
I'm not sure.
Something like that. I don't know. I guess they wanted to like back off, hold off a bit before releasing it. I'm going off of memory, but because yeah. I think the Continental didn't do too well, did it?
No, it didn't.
Oh.
It was a 3-episode little mini series type thing, and it didn't. I've still not seen it, even though as much as I love that action, but mm-hmm. the people involved with it didn't have any involvement. The people involved with the main John Wick films had no
input.
Yeah, they had nothing. They have no involvement with the Continental, from what I understand, and. The reason those movies come off so great is because it's director, and I'm not even going to try to say his last name because I'll butcher it, but his first name's Chad, and he was a stunt performer who went into directing and doing action films. And so taking his knowledge of stunt performing and directing, you know, doing what he was doing with direction, it just made, and then that started to crop up a lot more. If you're a fan of some really good action, it's stunt performers doing these things. And in fact, what's that film? It's a Ryan Gosling film coming out, Fall Guy, coming out later this year based on the TV
show.
Yeah. Which is all about stunt performing. But he was a stunt performer who is now directing this film broke a world record for car flips, I believe.
Chad Stahelski?
Something like that, yeah.
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 Chad Stahelski. Okay.
He was a stunt coordinator, and then he went into directing and did that. And there's a couple other guys who have done that as well that have made for some... the guy who did the Extraction films on Netflix, Extraction 2, again, another stunt coordinator turned director who just does some amazing shots in stunt photography, I guess you could say. Stunt cinematography.
Yeah.
Is another way to look
action
at
photography.
It.
Action photography.
Sure.
I know what I'm looking for in an action scene. I've been through it enough times I can look at it from the other side and see.
There are some great ones. Monkey Man comes out not too long from now. That's another one I'm looking at, which is not a stunt performer doing directing, but it looks insanely great as far as the action is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really great shots. Yeah. Anyway, back to video gaming. With 6 minutes left to go in the hour, what have you played, RJ, recently?
Let's see. I'm still doing some grinding on Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis. It's been a while since I've been playing the game, so there's a whole bunch of new content in there since the last time, so I'm going through.
When was the last time you played it? Well, how long is this gap?
The gap? A couple years.
Yeah?
Yeah, a couple years. So I've had a whole bunch of things come up in between that time, and now I'm getting back into it. So the lobbies are still the same. Folks putting those little funny symbol chats all over the place, and I'm getting a kick out of that. But for the most part, I'm still having a little bit of fun with the game, getting some reminiscing about the fun I had a couple years ago, and getting new equipment and grinding for it and getting it all up to snuff. And for the most part, Balatro, that we were talking about earlier, I'm really playing now to unlock as much as I can. I'm trying to get those long runs in. I have yet to beat an ante yet. I think the highest I got was 5.
Right.
And
you're I'm still with you then.
I want to say it was tailor made for me because I had a run that involved 4 jokers, and each one involved increasing the multiplier if you had a card in a certain set, and I had all 4 of them. I also had the splash joker, which gave me all cards, no matter what you're doing, you're playing them.
Right, all cards you play, score.
Yeah, score. And so I'm starting to realize the mistakes I've been making throughout the throughout my time playing this game. For instance, you don't have to play all your cards. You don't have to play 5, up to 5. You don't have to play 5. Okay, realize that. 2, I'm not skipping anything, and I really should have in some of the cards that I've had. One of the jokers I had involved was the ice cream joker, which gives me 100 chips
and
every play,
dwindles.
But then I lose 5 chips every round I play. So it goes from 100 to 95, 95 to 100, so on and so on and so on.
That's good for a while, and
then
you sell it
later.
Then
you got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, and in retrospect, I was thinking, you know, it would have been a really good thing if I would have just skipped that round and went straight to the big blind and had a good amount of chips coming from that card. You know, get rid of it before losing it.
That's a good strategy. That's something I didn't think about, but that's a good strategy.
Yeah. So the benefit of skipping blinds, because it gives you something. Like, hey, you'll get 2 foiled jokers here. And I think my favorite, one of my favorite jokers in the game right now is Scary Face. Every face card you got,
it boosts
the thing up. And I also got one that was, what's the term, polychromatic.
Right.
One of those, it's like foil, polychromatic, and something else that boosts
polychromatic, I think, gives you a 1.5 multiplier.
Yeah, polychromatic, that's it. Polychromatic, and it gave me 1.5. Foil gives you, what, 5?
Foil gives you 50 chips.
50 chips, okay. So
holographic gives you a plus 10 multiplier.
Yeah.
Not a times 10, but a
plus 10. Plus 10. So, yeah, there's levels to the refractor cards, right?
Yeah.
So I only got polychromatic, so I was using that for a good little while, but...
Now, that's on your jokers, because
jokers,
some of your cards can have steel, gold, glass.
Steel, gold, glass,
lucky.
Yeah, stone. Yeah, things like that, wild.
Yeah.
Little things like that here and there. Extra cards from the purchases that you get.
And if you've got a steel card in your hand when you play, in other words, you didn't play it and you didn't discard it, but it's in your hand while your actual hand is getting counted, it gives you a plus something multiplier as long as it's in hand.
Yeah.
Gold, if you keep it throughout the game, if you never discard it and you have that in your hand at the end of the game, you get extra money with a gold card.
Don't play it, you get $3.
And there was, I remember early on in my original stream that we did on there, I had a joker that said all cards are treated as face cards. And then I had another thing that said all face cards become gold cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting a lot of gold cards. It didn't matter what they were. Yep. Until I got, and I didn't think about this at the time, I got to a boss blind that said face cards don't count.
Hmm.
But all my cards are considered face cards.
And you didn't think about it until you got into the match.
Well, what I didn't think about doing was just selling off that Joker card.
Sell that, yeah, it's like the one I had with the ice cream. I should have sold this card or skipped a blind or one of the two.
I just thought I was screwed. I was like, well, there goes my run. I ran into it, but I didn't realize this was one of the first times I'd played it, yeah. And I, you know, just now, to sell the card.
If only you had the Luchador Joker.
Which one does he do?
He removes the boss blind's power. So that thing where it said all face cards are worth right. It would have said nope.
Right. And he does it, I think, just once, though, right?
One time.
Yeah.
When and done. Use it, it's gone.
Right. I had one the other day that said if you get within 25% of the score, you survive.
Yeah.
In other words, it'll prevent death.
It'll prevent death.
And it saved me because yeah. I got to the end of the game and I was like, or the end of that hand, and I played, I was like, nah, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
Played what I had left. It counted it up, and I went through, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that card's there.
Yeah.
But then, once it was done, that card self-destructed. It went away.
Yeah, one time, one and done.
But I still haven't beaten a hand.
Yeah, me neither. But basically the allure of the game is, you know, finding out all your strategies and techniques as you go on. But it's that luck of the draw of your jokers.
It's RNG.
Random luck of the draw, getting jokers, and maintaining that level of getting the best hand possible with what you have, using your discards properly. And just constantly maintaining your best action throughout the whole thing for eight antes, and it's as we're finding out, not that easy to do. Or you look back in retrospect, like, why did I do that? I should have done this, should have done that.
Yeah.
My problem was in the runs that I had, where I had those jokers tailor made to go on a long run. The problem was I kept going for flushes and straights instead of going with what I did have there.
Mm-hmm.
I had pairs. Two pairs, one pair, things like that. I had things to play, but I just kept going for the bigger payout, and mm-hmm. it didn't work out for me, especially in the fourth and fifth level of ante.
I'm finding it lately. I'm finding, I guess, my play style or whatever. Lately, I'm finding that I'm not doing enough with the planet cards, the ones that upgrade your hands.
Yeah,
and I've really got to do that. I've focused so much on the jokers giving me multipliers. That I'm not looking at the hands being upgraded enough because those give you multipliers as well.
They give you bigger multipliers. I've done that as well. I've seen plenty of cards, but the problem is the planet cards that I'm getting, it's the things that I don't
get too much. Hands you play.
Yeah. It's like we'll boost every four of a kind that you got. And I think, when's the last time I had a four of a kind? Like once.
I may get them early in my because when you're in those smaller blinds, you can take more risks as far as using all your discards at, you know, trying to get a four of a kind.
Yeah.
It possibly gets easier when you get like tarot cards and things that can switch, you know, can switch cards into other cards. So I can have a hand that's got, you know, or I can have a deck that has 16 aces, you know, with the way it goes, or a ton of hearts. You know, or spades or something like that that'll make it work. So, there's a lot of ways to go about it. But our point being is that it is an addictive, fun game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like even the barest bones of poker, you'll enjoy this. You really, really will. So find it on Switch. Find it on PlayStation. Find it on Xbox. Find it on PC. And check it out. We cannot recommend it enough as much as we love it. And one dude is the maker of this thing. Mm-hmm. One guy. He did an AMA on Reddit recently, so go there to talk to him. He has never played a deck builder in his life, which I don't consider this a deck builder. In a sense, it is.
Yeah, because you can add stuff to it. Because
you're
like that.
You know, you're putting your jokers in there, and you're trying to get things to move. So, in a sense, it is. But like Marvel Snap, that's a deck builder.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, let me tell you about Monopoly. We'll get to it, but we got to take a break here. The other game that I played or that I've been playing is Scorn. That came in on a Humble Bundle, so I have it on PC now, and I'm playing Scorn. It is abysmal. And I don't mean that in the sense that the game's horrible. It likely would be if I didn't have all these modifications that I'm doing to it. I'm absolutely using a cheat program for it. And I'll give you the reasons for that. Number one, I don't want combat in the game at all. One of the complaints in the reviews was that there was combat and it was not great. The combat is not great, and so I hate the combat. So I'm using a cheat thing to give me infinite ammo and one kill, you know, one shot kills.
Yeah,
because I don't want to deal with them.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm here to solve puzzles. Stop attacking me. And what's the other one? Oh, movement speed. Whew. Am I glad I did that? If anything else, I would give up everything else except for my movement speed. If I had to give up my ammo and my one-hit kills or whatever, that's fine. Just let me keep my movement speed, because it is molasses in the game. You move slow.
Are we talking Parasite Eve level slow?
I would have to play that to know.
One of the complaints I've heard about Parasite Eve is how slow your main character is in the game. I mean, it's
yeah,
bad.
You don't move fast in this game. There is a run button in there, and that's fine, but that sort of helps, but your character has to build the momentum up. In other words, when you hit the run thing, it takes a minute to ramp. It ramps.
Okay.
Your speed ramps.
They got to warm up.
Yeah, but with this little cheat thing that I've got, the momentum starts immediately. And I can increase my movement speed, which I have, because this feels like a puzzle game, not a combat game. And that's what I want to do. And there's been a lot of trekking in this game that I am so glad I have that movement speed turned up for. But back to the abysmalness of it, it is bleak. It is dark. It is very... God, what is his name? You know who it is. It's the guy who designed the alien costumes, the xenomorphs and everything. Geiger.
Okay.
Very, was it H.R. Geiger, I guess? Okay. Yeah, very Geiger-esque in the designs of almost everything. So it's very alien but biological. And that part of it is just great. It's just that it is just bleak the entire time, and I get that's the setting they're going for. And I'm fine with that, but I'm enjoying the puzzles. Some of them are a little tough, but I'm enjoying the puzzles. Mm-hmm. So we got to take a break. When we come back, we will jump into the news here. This is music from, I did get everything switched over now. This is a game called Last Epoch. Escape from the Vaults is the title track of this one. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this.
Welcome back
to in-game chat. Music from Pacific Drive. In fact, I need
racing title?
Pacific Drive, not a racing title. No, this is the one where you have... it's a station wagon, and you're driving around. You really can only survive inside the station wagon. Outside of the station wagon is not necessarily death, but you don't have a lot of time outside to survive. You need to be inside your car. You go out, you collect a bunch of parts, you go back to base, you upgrade your car, you go out further, collect a bunch of parts, go back to base, upgrade your car, you go out further. You know, it's basically all of that. It's...
Survival driving.
It's a survival driving game. Yeah. Really, essentially, it's kind of what it is.
Because I wouldn't equate that type of music to a station wagon.
No, you're right. I wouldn't either. I am writing down the songs that play because we missed two songs that are not going to get played, and I'll use those for next week.
Yep.
So I want to write down what does get played, so that we'll be good to go. Make sure that that's correct. It is. Writing down the next one. I'm so sorry.
Not unless you soup up the station wagon.
No, yeah, you can soup it up as well.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know all the upgrades that you can take with it or that you can do to it. I know armor is one. Its ability to survive out in the elements and what it's doing. I think you can upgrade, you know, maybe storage capacity for it or something. Or just, I don't know all the different things that you can do with it. So, hey, you're in in-game chat. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Oh, not too much. Y'all having a fun afternoon?
So far. Got basketball on TV and got video games that we're talking about on the air. So.
Yeah, I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII.
Well, of course you are. That's not one that you that really wraps up quickly. I don't think. I don't know. I mean, how many hours you put into it?
Let me see. A bunch, probably.
Triple, yeah, I would imagine so.
Are we in double or triple digits?
I would say double so far. Maybe he's gone triple.
Let's see what Tom Stamp said the last time I saved it. Well, I want to go ahead and save it. That'll tell me.
He's looking. Mm-hmm. He's actually looking at
look it.
Look
it up, yeah.
That's always fun to look, see how many hours. That's what I like about Steam. It tells you right there, this is how many hours you put into it.
How many hours you put into the game, yeah.
I'm 20 hours into it.
20 hours in,
okay.
That reminds me, now I want to look at Balatro and see where I am. I'm curious, because I got my Steam Deck right here. Let's see. 32 hours played of Balatro. So...
And we still haven't beat
And
up.
We still have not beaten
we
a
have
deck
not
yet.
Not beaten a deck yet.
Yep.
I'm right there with you, man.
Still have not beaten a deck
so
yet.
So how far up did you go?
I have gotten to the final.
We've gotten eight. Okay.
The boss plot. I've gotten
so
there.
So you're further along than I have. Yeah, but it's going to take some time though.
Yeah, but I have gotten there. Mm-hmm. So I just haven't beat it. So. Mm-hmm.
So 20 hours in, how much progress have you made in the main story, Chris?
Well, I think there's 10 or 11 chapters into it, and I'm only in chapter 2. I'm only in the second region in the game that you can get to, so yeah, I'm pretty early into it.
20 hours early.
And pretty early into it, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so like I said,
it doesn't really pick up until the hour 80 or so.
Yeah.
I mean, you can progress the story as fast or as slow as you want to. I've been just running around doing side quests and power leveling my characters and stuff, but I basically kind of know the storyline of what happened in the original one, and I'm really not all that far into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, on newer... So that brings up a good thing to talk about is games like that where you've got... You can mainline the story if you want to, or you can go and do a bunch of side quests and things like that. So in some cases... With certain titles, I can't see a reason why I would mainline the story.
And sometimes you have to do side stories, even be powered.
Well,
up to
there's that
take,
too.
Take the main story.
There's that aspect to it. But yeah. throwing that out, I go to the Batman games, Arkham City, Arkham Knight. all of those. Arkham Knight, there are some side quests on Arkham Knight that I could do without. Some of those Riddler races and things like that I could do without. However, in some of those side things, some of those side quests, I am just so much in love with the game. The fighting combat in that game, the ones where you're, you know, the silent assassin thing, the whatever, I can't remember what they're called. But that, and just so in love with the lore, the characters, the game, the setting, all of it, that I am perfectly fine not trying to finish this as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Myst was a lot like that. I slow played it because I didn't want it to end. You know, I wanted to really soak it in and experience it.
Yeah.
Rather than like, hey, it's game, let's get through it and get it done. You know, let's see what happens at the end. I'm okay. I know that I'll get there. So I'm okay just to enjoy the journey of getting there rather than trying to get there as fast as I could to get to the ending.
Yeah.
Then there are some games where that offer me plenty of things to do, but I don't have any reason to really want to do those because I don't... Final Fantasy would not be one of those games, I wouldn't think. Especially Final Fantasy VII, given the... I don't want to say it the lore, but given the legacy.
Yeah.
That particular title has.
Yeah, given its rep. Yeah.
Exactly. That you would want to milk it for everything that you could get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And not just zip through it.
Yeah.
Something
else about the Batman things that you mentioned. I don't think I finished any of the Batman titles with a Riddler's side story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've even ever finished any of them. I played through some of them, of course, you know, because you would randomly find one of those question marks here and there.
Yeah.
But like I think it was one with involved a Catwoman, Arkham City.
Had the one where you could play as Catwoman. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think you could do that though in Arkham Knight as well, though.
Well, it was the one where you had to complete all of Riddler's riddles to fight him at the end in his machine. Yeah, I never fought him because I didn't have the tolerance to go through all those riddle things. It wasn't essential to the story, so to speak. So I just skipped that part. But yeah, I mean, like I said, they're just some things you have to go through to get the level up to get through the story that you want to. But some things, some you can just do without.
I was like that with Assassin's Creed Black Flag, just because I enjoyed so much of all of that.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, I know you're still there, Chris. Oddly enough, Black Flag gave me the same sense, and this is going to sound weird, as Wind Waker.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were on a ship, you were going to different little places, there were things that would pop up on your map that were places you wanted to look into, and I really, really enjoyed that. I loved Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. And so playing Black Flag, I was just, this is great. I like the theme, the pirate setting stuff, all of this is fantastic. I'm going to, again, milk this for all it's worth and extend it as far as I can. It was one of the best, it was such a redemption moment for the Assassin's Creed series after 3. Which I did not like.
Everyone said that.
3 is when it kind of came off the wheels. 1 and 2 were 1 was great, 2 was phenomenal. And some of the expansions of that game, Brotherhood and the other one, I can't remember what it's called, but the other one that went through Ezio's life, were still fantastic as far as what they were doing. And then they got to 3 where we're all waiting for this whole thing to kind of culminate and do what it's going to do. And it never did. And in fact, did it horribly that I didn't know that I was going to go back to it. But when they threw in pirates, it's like, well, you got me. You got me again. But then there's some games like Cyberpunk. I don't feel like doing all the stuff in there. I don't have familiarity with the characters. This is brand new. Like, obviously in a sequel, maybe something changes there, but there is no sort of outside of trying to get experience points and upgrading yourself and everything else. It's not
the point of those side missions in Cyberpunk other than money and XP.
Right. It's not necessarily something that I want to mainline, but it's also not something that I'm going to spend a lot of time doing side
quests. Or an item, because it was a whole bunch of little, stories, on the outside here and there that had no, connection to the main story, like for instance, saving the pop group from their stalker. Yeah, it's just that one little side story that you did, and you never hear about it again. You may get two different phone calls depending on how that one mission turned out. That type of thing. But other than main storyline, no.
And again, you're only doing it for XP and cash.
XP, cash, or curiosity, seeing what the fuss is about. If you may bump into it accidentally,
or they'll give you something for it. Some kind of upgrade you get out of it, or something. Yeah. Who knows?
Item, a bike. Be a Kira bike or some other thing like that, some item, some weapon. But if you're good with what you got, you really don't have a need to stick with that route. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Chris, we hope you enjoy continuing Final Fantasy. Are you looking at playing anything else anytime soon, or is it just you sticking with Final Fantasy?
For right now, I'm going to just stick with that, and then whatever else comes around the corner, I'm thinking actually getting one of the, PlayStation Portables, because every now and then I like to sit up front in the living room with my father whenever he's watching TV or doing this and that.
Oh, you're going to get a portal? You're going to get a PlayStation portal?
I'm thinking about wanting to get one of those because I've heard that, you know, playing the remote play, you know, through your phone and everything or other devices, you can use the touchscreen controls, to play the PlayStation. But, you can also wirelessly connect your PlayStation DualSense controller to your cell phone. But the PlayStation, the remote play, won't even sense it, controller that it actually is. It says it's not compatible, but they had one of those built in supposedly to the PlayStation Portable with the big screen. But I've heard that you could also hack your Nintendo Switch and you could use the Switch to play a remote play to do that. And
I had heard about that as well. Yep, I heard about that as well.
I don't feel like hacking my Switch, and the screen on the Portal is, an inch bigger than the Switch, and I'm thinking, I just want to use it up there and just play it up there in the living room and hang out with him and watch TV or whatever. I can, if I ever wanted to play it without, having to be in the other at the other end of the house, I could just have it up there with me and play since I've got good internet now.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you do get one of those portals, you got to call and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, I've read good things about it, as long as it's just a streaming device.
Exactly. I've read fantastic things on it. The use case that I have for it is nil. Like, there's no reason I need to have one of those things. There's no, it just doesn't work. It does, but it's not, I just don't have a use for it. But I can easily see there being a use for it in certain households, in certain places. I could totally see that being the case, and I've heard that if it is you that does, that this use case fits, this thing is fantastic. Apparently it's very good. It was baffling to my mind why they would release something like that, but reading reviews about here's the reasons you could use it, I'm thinking, yeah, I can see that. It's not necessarily a problem I've ever run into, but I could totally see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it just fits in scenarios of what it can do and it's that suitable enough for you, then yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, man, if that happens, you got to let us know, because I'm really curious. I don't know anybody who's got one, so I'd be really curious to know how you like it if you do go that route.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about wanting to get one of those and check it out. But yeah, I was messing with hooking it up to my phone, and streaming, the PlayStation to it. And of course, I have a Samsung Galaxy 8, and I said, I could get one that's bigger than the Switch if I got the official portal. And I was like, yeah, I might just go that route instead of trying to hack my Switch or do something like that.
Yeah.
So
it's a neat looking piece of tech, but again, it's very specific in who needs it, but apparently it's doing very well. So yeah, let us know and continue on with that. We're going to go to another phone line here and then go to a break. But thanks for calling in, Chris.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon.
Take care, buddy.
Take care now.
Bye bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, you're an in-game chat. Who's this? Hello? Hello?
For talking points for your next happy hour, check out Pop Culture Happy Hour, 4 days a week only on NPR.
He's listening to NPR? Hello? Somebody butt dialed us. That was weird.
Is that a first?
No. That is not a first. Having that loud of audio in the background as we're doing our thing here, that might have been a first. But yeah, I don't know if they'll call back or not. Well, they probably won't, because they probably didn't realize they called us to begin with. It sounds
butt-dialed.
I think so.
So we're in someone's list. Cool.
Well, you know, we're probably, this number goes to, it's not just, it's not we are.
Still.
It's the station's number.
Hey, we have my moment, man. Come on now.
Because obviously you could hear in the background, they were not listening to us. Yes. So yeah. Jumping into the chat room here to go over there. Lethal Migraine says, I have no idea what Monopoly Go is, but apparently it's up to $2 billion. Monopoly Go is a mobile game, and I'm sure $2 billion in the world of mobile is like, ha!
Not enough.
Pocket change!
Yeah.
But this game has not even been out a year, and it has made $2 billion in revenue. And that's fine. And they've spent, to make it, market it, everything else, they spent about $500,000 to do that. And they've already made $2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I had started to read an interview with the guys at Scopely, is the name of the company that makes the game. And I was reading an interview with them, and the intro to that interview of whoever was writing the, whoever did the interview, said something about, here's a game, here's the blah, 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 it's done this. But before you go out and try and make your own mobile game thinking, you know, gold at the end of the rainbow type thing, where it's like, I'm going to make some cash. This game that is not even a year old was in development for 7 years before release. 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's made $2 billion. I easily see why it's made $2 billion, and I can't open it up right now because there's a current event going on that I don't want to waste. Yeah. I want to wait until, you know, I'm able to actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it $2 billion for a mobile game. And I'm sure there's mobile games out there that have made far more.
It's not the money amount. It's how fast it got to that point.
How fast it got to $2 billion, that's unreal. But while playing it.
Unreal, but not surprising.
Before I had done the things that I can do with it, while playing it, I resisted many a temptation to spend money on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it wasn't hard to resist temptation because just money wasn't there to spend on it. But when there was, I resisted many a temptation to do it, but I could easily see how it could pull in that kind of money so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It taps into something that is, for me, early on, it tapped into that, but now it does not trigger that at all anymore for me, mainly because I've tweaked it enough to where I can play it the way I want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to play it by their specific rules anymore.
I mean, it is Monopoly. Is it one of them situations where you have to spend money to make money?
No,
in-game,
no.
In-game currency, I mean.
No. You do spend money in there, but there's a certain point, depending on how much you play it, there's a certain point where money is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The main problem of the game is dice. You need dice. Dice is what moves you around the board, which is what gets you money, which is what gets you stickers, which is what gets you more dice.
Mm.
And so the whole point of it is to get dice so that you can roll, so that you can get more dice, so that you can roll some more and get more dice.
That's what I mean by the in-game currency is the dice. It functions there because that fuels everything.
Yeah, basically, yes. Yeah. Without dice, you can't do anything in the game.
And you don't have to spend money to earn dice?
No, but they have the option to.
Okay.
Yeah. You do get the option to spend money and get dice.
Or you can grind the old-fashioned way.
Or you can just do it the old-fashioned way, yeah.
Right.
Because every hour, depending on how you've upgraded everything, and it just upgrades over time as you go.
Mm-hmm.
The more you play, the more it upgrades. You don't really have a choice in how you upgrade it. But you get to the point where right now, 100 is your dice cap of regenerating dice. In other words, every hour it generates 10 dice up to 100.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've reached 100, it's not going to generate 10 more after that. It stops at 100.
Right.
Now, you can then take the 100 dice and roll 5 of them and make 50 more dice. That's fine. You now sit with like 140 dice in your pocket. That's fine. It could go over, but it won't regenerate past 100. So if you drop below 100, then in an hour, you'll get 10 or whatever it is to get it back up to 100 dice. Mm-hmm. But you can easily go over that cap.
Okay.
Such as I am.
Hey, work the system, man. Have at it.
That's exactly what I've done. We're talking six figures.
Yeah.
In dice.
Yeah, work it like you did the legendary shards in Destiny. Remember that? You had like an excess amount of
those. Don't remind me.
What?
Because it's all still sitting there. I didn't get to do anything with it. Actually, it's not, because I think they got rid of legendary shards. I'm not sure. But all of it's still sitting there.
Wait a minute. When's the last time I played, I still had those?
When was the last time you played?
I've been a minute.
Same here. I haven't played since September.
Yeah, for different reasons, yes, but still. Last time I played, I remember having legendary shards because I needed those things.
Yeah, I know.
To get what I wanted.
I think they've done something with the currency in the game to where that stuff went away, but I don't remember. And then they're adding Ghostbusters stuff in there, and it's just making me annoyed.
Like, in what? Monopoly? What?
No, in Destiny.
Ghostbusters.
Yes. Like, they have a Slimer skin for your ghost.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
They have a spaceship that looks like Ecto-1. A spaceship. Whatever. Your ship.
The ship that you never use for anything but transport.
You know? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, they better not collaborate with Back to the Future. I'm going to be upset.
Just because you said that?
They will.
Yeah.
Well, they put in hoverboards. Well, they're not hoverboards, but they're whatever they're called. I don't know if you ever played it, but when Lightfall broke, those new characters from Lightfall.
I don't think I played Lightfall, but I get what you're saying.
They're called like Sky Skimmers or something. Yeah. They look like surfboards, basically.
Yeah.
But everybody's treating them as hoverboards. But yeah, it's just and then I got an email from the PR company being like, hey, Destiny 2's 2-month event leading into the final shape is about to release. Here's all these things. Would you like to request a review key?
Do you not know what I've been going through?
They don't.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just on the marketing list. They don't. So, hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, maybe we'll hit the news. Maybe we won't, because, you know, we're not structured at all. This is music from Slave Zero X. Which I don't know what that is, but it might sound interesting to you for some reason, RJ. I don't know. Slave Zero X, this is a track called Take Up Your Blade. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Hey, welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Inculinati, I think. Anyway, it's called Draw Your Quills, which is the name of the track there. This is something, I think it's like you draw your weapon. I don't know.
It was like scribble knots or something like that?
Yeah, you're onto something there, I think. But I don't necessarily, I don't think it's like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It has to do with drawing and fighting and stuff like that. So, okay, you're talking about prices at the movie theaters. The buckets of popcorn, yeah, $25, $30, $40.
Look, I was just guessing on the 30, but we were talking about the specialized containers for the popcorn buckets for Ghostbusters. And I remember the one they had for Afterlife. It was in an Ecto-1 shaped popcorn container. when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the price, but it was up there. So I was just guessing on the $30 for the one in the trap.
Yeah, I really wanted a Dune 2 bucket. And not for the memes. Because God knows it got the memes.
Yeah.
But no, that's not why I wanted it. Welcome back to the show. We don't really have a lot of time here and there's a lot of news that I had thrown in here.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the rumored PS5 Pro because we talked about this with Sony not having any first party titles or anything like that. They're having nothing from the main studio being released until next year.
Yeah.
And probably halfway through next year that they needed something. And the fact that GTA 6 is getting released, which is going to be a shot in the arm to your home consoles because it's only going to be available on the PS5 or the Series X. They're not doing backwards compatibility on this thing with a 4 or any of that. You got to go 5 or Series X. So it's going to be a shot in the arm to the home consoles. It's also not going to be on PC first. It's going to be on console first, which again means people are going to be buying consoles for one game, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But Sony wants to get something out there because they don't have anything else. I don't necessarily know that Microsoft has a lot going for it as well, but they've got more than Sony does because when you've got zero, all you need is one.
Yeah. They're busy acquiring stuff right now, aren't they?
Who, Sony?
Microsoft?
Yeah. Yeah, they're acquiring stuff, but they've also got releases lined up.
Yeah.
First party. Given the fact that they've acquired so many studios,
yeah,
they've got plenty of first-party titles to release. They may not be franchise first-party titles, but they're still titles from their own companies. So Microsoft, they're doing fine. They're not looking at doing a release of a mid-tier console type thing yet. I know they're probably talking about it, but nothing like that. Sony, however, wants to get their new machine out there because it'll make money with, hopefully, sales of GTA 6, which is what that's what I think we're going to see there. What else do we have? Oh man, the Video Game Hall of Fame. I'm not going to let this go by without talking about it because we started with nostalgia. We might as well revisit anyway.
Yep.
The National Museum of Play has announced the 12 games nominated in 2024 for the World Video Game Hall of Fame. For those of you who listen to the morning show, whenever we talk about Hall of Fames, especially when it talks about music, you'll understand that there's not a lot of love for that because Styx is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's a lot of bands that aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But when we look at the World Video Game Hall of Fame, I get where that whole justification comes from of like, why hasn't that made it in? Because in here, nominated, the fact that this is just nominated seems to be, it should already be in, Asteroids. Why is that? That's long time ago. That should have already been in there.
Yeah. In terms of popularity and what it,
I know.
Yeah, I mean.
Come on.
Who didn't know about that game when it first came out?
I mean, and so having that in mind, listen to the rest. There's Elite, which is the predecessor to Elite Dangerous. There is Guitar Hero. Again, Asteroids is not in there. It's nominated along with Elite, Guitar Hero, Metroid, Myst. We'll get back to that. Neopets, Resident Evil, Tokimeki Memorial. Do you know what that is? Are you familiar?
Sounds like an RPG type thing.
Okay. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Ultima and You Don't Know Jack. So there are quite a few games in here that I would. So Asteroids, just based on the legacy that it had and what it did.
Yeah, Tokimeki Memorial. That's a dating sim.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. See, I can't really speak for that. I don't really know anything about that, but Asteroids definitely should be in there. Elite, Guitar Hero, given what that spawned, I can see that it has a place. Maybe not this year, but I can see that at least should be in there at some point. Just given how big that became.
Is Beatmania in there?
I don't know. I'd have to go look again. I haven't seen all of them that are in there.
Because Bimani's Bimani the music,
which is where Guitar Hero came from, I believe, yeah, or was born out of.
Yeah, because you had the Beatmania, DDR, things like that, and all that beforehand. So
DDR, I think, is in there.
Okay,
but Metroid again. Look, Metroid has a lot of firsts. It was the first game that had a save system, a password save system. It was the first game that, not only, you know, up until that point, we had played games going left to right, or we had played games that went up and down. Metroid, you got to do both. It wasn't just left or right. It was left, right, up, and down.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing. Then there's Myst. I'll claim bias just for being such a fan of that. That thing was amazing in the 90s. Myst was huge. Neopets, I get. That was a culture phenomenon of having Neopets. And I don't know if it's Neopets or if it's, what was that other one? Tamagotchi? Is that what it was called?
Tamagotchi, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Neopets, Tamagotchi should be kind of one and the same there. Resident Evil, huge, big deal, definitely. I don't know about the dating sim you talked about. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, sure, but down the line. Ultima definitely should be in there. You Don't Know Jack, down the line. So I would take Elite, Guitar Hero, the dating sim we talked about, Tony Hawk, and You Don't Know Jack. I would take those five, push them to next year. I don't know how many they're supposed to pick, actually. Huh. I don't know what the, I don't know how many they have to pick.
It said the public will vote for their favorites on the website, and the top three games will be added to a ballot. The other ballots were submitted by the International Selection Advisory Committee, which the Strong Museum said includes journalists and scholars familiar with the history of video games and their roles in society.
Well, then what are the other games on the ballots after that?
The public vote is open from March 14th to the 21st. Inductees will be announced on May 9th
during an
in-person ceremony.
Or that, or they left it off.
Yeah.
Because I see Neopets, You Don't Know Jack. Then there's SimCity.
Huh.
Why is SimCity not listed in the list? Listed in the list. I'm not sure.
So it was four were inducted last year. See that part in the article. Barbie Fashion Designer, Computer Space, The Last of Us, and Wii Sports.
Yeah.
Beating out games like Age of Empires, Angry Birds, Call of Duty 4, FIFA International Soccer, GoldenEye 007, NBA 2K, Quake, and Wizardry. So far, 44 games have been recognized as part of the World Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'd throw in Quake and GoldenEye out of that group. Barbie Fashion Designer.
Didn't we talk about that a long time? I think we talked about that a while back.
It feels like we did.
I think we did. That got into the Hall of Fame, but... Yeah, we're talking about the Hall of Fame snubs, basically. So, yeah, I think we did talk about that before.
Yeah.
Because the question we had was how.
SimCity is nominated.
Yeah.
That'd be another tough one to pass on. What else do we have? Starbreeze CEO was ousted, mainly due to the disaster that was Payday 3. Multiversus is returning in May, a year after going offline. That was an odd resurgence. Like, I knew they took it offline because I thought they were like, okay, we're going to go retweak it and then we're going to come back. And then they're coming back and I just don't see...
Too much money involved to let it go?
People didn't like... Well, you say that, but it's Warner Brothers, right? And Warner Brothers has made some really stupid decisions lately with their product to be like, you know what? Let's just write that off. Let's never release it and write it off. You know, they did it with a couple of movies and films, and it's like, okay, try with this video game. I don't know. They've done. I don't like the decisions that Warner Brothers has been making lately. Zaslav, I think, is the guy's name. No, not a fan. Yeah, there's plenty. I'm going to carry over some of these articles to next week. I want to talk about the, the GTA 6 release there. definitely want to talk about that. I would love to talk about the canceled Spider-Man game, the multiplayer Spider's Web or whatever it's called. But that was a leak of a canceled game, a leak of a trailer for a canceled game. Although a multiplayer, massively online Spider-Man game sounds kind of neat, and it looked kind of neat as well. I just don't know if it would play that great in co-op, but they could probably figure out a way to make it happen. I'm not sure, but they could. Yeah, there was a bunch of layoffs at Respawn. More people losing their jobs in the video game world. That Starbreeze CEO lost his job, but I mean, that was over the whole Payday 3 thing, which they're still trying to improve and fix. Season Pass was announced for Minecraft in their in-game marketplace. Now they have a season or a battle pass type thing. Mm-hmm. Like, here you go, subscribe to this. So I think that's the way you're going to see a lot of games go. Like, here's our season pass. Here's all these things you can earn in the game if you subscribe. Otherwise, here's all the things you earn when you're playing for free. And it's almost never worth it. But Helldivers seems to be doing good there with the way that they're working.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Josh was playing last week when I got on. He was busy in Helldivers. I watched him stream some Helldivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at my friends list one night this week, and all of my Destiny people were playing Helldivers too. And I was like, well, maybe I should pick that up, join in my groups, and play some stuff, because I just haven't. I haven't.
Subtle hint.
I know. I haven't done anything with them in forever. I can't do anything with them because of Destiny. So, you know.
Mm.
They're going to raid tonight. But, yeah. Yeah, Lethal Migraine. I haven't been on Game Pass recently, and I really should fire up my console and go back to that. I need to get back into to Hi-Fi Rush.
Ambition?
No. I got a pretty good ways. I got to like a midway point in a level. Most levels, like I told you, I was playing it by going level by level.
Yeah.
And I came to a level that I didn't finish, but it has a midway point in it.
Mm-hmm.
To where it stops down, gives you some story, and then gives you an upgraded ability, and then has you move on. And I just haven't moved on from that little halfway mark of that level.
Mm. Don't let yourself get too rusty on that thing now.
You know, it's a beat game, and you're absolutely right. I will, but they do a lot in that game, especially where difficulty is concerned, to not make that an issue. Like I can turn off the entire rhythm action of it, mm-hmm. to where that when I play it, it's moving. It does it itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. I don't mind doing that if I got to, but it's not too bad. It's not too difficult to get back into.
Okay.
At least I don't think so. At least it's got a tutorial mode.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching somebody's review of Balatro,
mm-hmm.
and talked about the fact that he bought the game and there was no tutorial because the tutorial was in the demo that he played. And because he had played the demo, the tutorial was no longer here in the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
That's something hopefully he patches in as well.
Maybe the patch works, yeah, because I never played the demo. I just bought the game.
And it gave you a tutorial as you're playing.
Tutorial, yeah.
But I only played like half of the tutorial, not even half of the tutorial, before I said, okay, I need some more time with this game. Let's go, and I'll come back to it. Well, I never mm-hmm. came back to it until it actually released. And when I went, it's like, no tutorial. Yeah.
Maybe you have to open up another profile and do it that way.
That's a possibility. I didn't think about that. That is a possibility, because when you start a new profile, you can elect to unlock everything. You'll lose achievements,
mm-hmm.
but you can unlock everything.
Mm-hmm.
But only when you start a new profile. You can't do it in the middle of one you've already started. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of Balatro, we have music here from that game as we go out. So thanks, everybody, for joining us this week on In-Game Chat. Find us on the usual places. You guys have a great time out there, and we will see you next Saturday for another episode of In-Game. Will we? You going to be here next week?
Yeah.
Good? Okay. Yeah, we'll see you next week for In-Game Chat. Here's music from, are we calling it Balatro?
Balatro.
Yeah, not Balatro. Balatro.
I've always called it Balatro, so
right.
I don't see no point in it.
I got you. See you guys later.